You guys know I'm crazy about Audible because it offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Audible really is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment, with female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks. Audible has you covered for any type of excitement that you're looking for. In fact, right now I'm listening to The Second Husband by Kate White. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. That's audible.com/realitylife or text realitylife to 500-500. With four daughters and two on a dance team, I can tell you we go through a lot of mascara in my house. But I'm crazy about L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara, which catches every lash from corner to corner for maximum volume. If you're looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank, this is yours. The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. I've been using it for about 2 weeks now, and I feel like my eye has completely opened up, and the girls are crazy about it too. They've got a tapered brush to catch every lash, one of the best mascara wands that I've ever used. And like I said, this luxe appearance of this gold package, you got to get it. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today. L'Oreal Paris new Panorama Mascara. You're going to love it.
The amazing Kate Casey.
Welcome back to another episode of Reality Life with Kate Casey. Hope that you had a great weekend. You had a great Halloween. I got to be honest with you guys. By the time Halloween rolls around, I have zero creative energy in me. I don't know how you do it. Some of you come up with the most creative costumes. I am dead on a bone by the time Halloween hits. Five kids in costumes. I don't have anything in me. I go into my closet. I get out a black turtleneck. I understand now there's a black turtleneck shortage in this country. Look it up. It's true. Walk downstairs. I ask my husband, what do you think of my costume? What do you think? And he goes, I don't know. What are you? I said, I'm Elizabeth Holmes from Theranos. And he said, you dressed up as yourself. You look exactly the same. You went as Kate Casey. And you know what? He may have had a point. My kids went out into a different neighborhood. They're like, let's blow this taco stand. We need to go somewhere new. I took them to another neighborhood. My friend Jordy takes my second grader. Her name's Hayes. I lovingly refer to her as Gives 30% because ever since she was little, she just doesn't really do what everybody else wants her to do. Like in ballet class, she was like, I am not going to pirouette. I don't know why you want me to squat. I'll just stand here. So they're walking around and my friend calls me and says, I just want you to know that as we're trick-or-treating, your daughter is asking everybody, adults, children, bystanders, whoever walks by, are they familiar with Area 51? I have to be honest with you. I have no idea how she knows about Area 51. I can't say I'm surprised. I do need to perhaps curb the YouTube content a little bit. But yeah, she's totally into the alien thing now. There are several options for you to watch this week. A little bit more cerebral than some of the other things that I've had, but I think you're going to like them. I want you to check out The Informant. Fear and Faith in the Heartland. It's ABC News and Hulu. They've jointly done this together. As homegrown extremist groups remain one of the greatest threats in the U.S., George Stephanopoulos gives an exclusive look at the incredible and true story of how an ordinary man from Kansas risked his and his family's lives to stop a terror attack. That is streaming now. You can watch it on ABC News, Hulu. It is called The Informant, Fear and Faith in the Heartland. Attica is on Showtime. It recounts a five-day 1971 prison rebellion at the Attica Correctional Facility in upstate New York. It took the lives of 29 inmates and 10 hostages. It's insane. Attica on Showtime. And then I watched the documentary Rita Moreno, Just a Girl Who Decided to Go For It on Netflix. This is so good. It follows her early life and career. A lot of really interesting people are interviewed for it about their thoughts on her role as a Hispanic woman in entertainment. She is a ball buster. It kind of reminds me of the Natalie Wood documentary. I was really touched by how open she was about sexual abuse that she's experienced. Her abusive relationship with Marlon Brando that I had no idea about. And also how she felt about her own marriage once her husband died. Check it out. I'm telling you, it's really good. this episode, Lindsay Hubbard from Winter House, she's giving me the scoop on what's going on with Carl. You guys saw that picture. They dressed up as Jennifer Grey and Patrick Swayze from Dirty Dancing. I was staring at it like you were, and I needed to know what was going on. We talk about what happened with Austin on Watch What Happens Live this week, which was a little bit of a nail biter, I got to be honest. I was like biting down on my skin. And then also what she thinks about Paige and Craig. So that's a great interview. And then Queens of Bravo is a great Instagram account. I've been loving them ever since they did so much help to me when that J-Lo story broke. It's a really good account. It's got great scoop for you. I asked them to come on their very first podcast to talk about this week's episode of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City because it is a crazy episode. Lisa Barlow, she's something, guys. Like, she is a master calculator. She's something. And also, this is the first episode where we get to see glimpses of the Jenshaw arrest. So Lindsay Hubbard and Queens of Bravo, here we go. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way that you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman, and they pass the savings on to us. So I just got a 100% organic cotton tiered maxi skirt in red and a chiffon pleated midi skirt in soft pink. Now I'm going to wear both of them with either a white scoop t-shirt or a black tank top. In fact, wait, should we all get the same outfit and meet for drinks? Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/KKC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/KKC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/KKC. This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. If you're looking for new style inspiration, Saks.com is the place to go. Saks.com is making it easy for me to shop for the spring with their selection of chic clothes and accessories. Right now, I'm looking at Saks.com so I can find my new going out vibe. I'm looking for a breezy Zimmermann dress for an evening cocktail party. And for my upcoming conference in Los Angeles, I'm looking at bright Chloe blazers because I'm pushing myself to wear more orange and pink. Saks.com will inspire you to shop for everything on your agenda. So find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com. Lindsay Hubbard, I've got a bone to pick with you.
When do you not have a bone to pick with me?
Okay, number one, I go on Instagram. I felt like there were flames coming off my phone. The people are going crazy and so am I. What's going on with Carl?
I mean, what good timing, right? Like, we scheduled this last week.
I know. Thank God.
But I did see you right on somebody's Instagram. You were like, I'm interviewing her.
Yes. Number one, are you and Carl romantically together right now?
So, I mean, listen, like, everyone keeps asking this. It's and for good reason. Carl and I have been best friends for years. There's no surprise there. And you know, like, we decided to go to this Halloween brunch together for our friends. They have two young kids. There was a lot of other...
You showed up at a kid's brunch in that outfit?
Yeah.
Did you pose like that?
It was the most PG outfit. It's not like I was showing up in like a sexy...
That's true.
You know, cat or, you know, whatever, which most people in New York do. I thought it was like a very wholesome outfit. I wore a wig. It looked like I think I accidentally... You know how sometimes Amazon sends you these wigs and it's not quite what it looks like on the model in the picture? I don't know. It looked like Annie, but... Yeah, we just decided to like go be more of a wholesome movie. Dirty Dancing is my favorite, absolute favorite movie in the entire world. And we just had fun. Kyle and Amanda went as Scooby-Doo, Fred and Velma.
I know, yeah. But that's not even remotely as sexy as Patrick Swayze and Jennifer Grey in Dirty Dancing. And the way he's like caressing your face, like, he was committed.
I mean, we do commit to our themes, if that hasn't been clear for the last 5 years. I don't know. I mean, what, like, you always like want to go as something. Like, we, Carl and I go to everything together. So if we're going to go to a Halloween party, we're going to go together as something.
Now, did this night culminate, or this brunch amongst children culminate? Did you do the lift in the air in front of these 2-year-olds?
No. Well, I don't trust myself doing a lift unless it's in water. I mean, I've done like plenty of like attempts at the lift throughout the years. But yeah, it just, I don't know. I'm also like, you know, not exactly my thinnest self to like be thrown in the air. I'd probably go like straight through a wall or something.
Yeah, but let me be honest with you. 2-year-olds could give two shits if you're a couple like LBs overweight. Like, they don't care. So the net is you just dressed up as for Halloween. There was no romantic interaction afterwards. You're just friends.
Yes, correct.
But that bums me out. Like, I kind of feel like for a minute I went, okay. Like, I like Carl 2.0. I'm into him.
Yeah, Carl 2.0 is just such a gem. He's such an amazing guy. And I have loved his sobriety journey, you know, because it's like just all the good, you know. I think I've always seen the good in Carl, but it was sometimes masked by the bad that his drinking would bring out of him. And, you know, once he eliminated that, it's just all good all the time. We hang out all the time. You know, we do everything together. We live in the same building.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So it's just like, it's super easy for us to, you know, just hang all the time.
But still, is there a part of you that thinks 5 years from now, that one night in the building, we're going to see each other at the elevator and we're going to lock eyes and realize, why hasn't this happened yet?
I mean, who says it hasn't happened yet? I can't really define my dating life. As much as I am flattered, and it is, you know, super flattering for fans and viewers to just like want the best for me and want me to be happy. You know, only I don't know. I'm just waiting for that day when it just sort of hits me in the face.
I'm glad you know that people want the best for you. I know that the people were super fired up after watching Watch What Happens Live this week. We're watching Winter House, which we're going to get to in a minute. And we see that you have this friendship with Austin and that there's this backstory between the two of you. And then we watch What Happens Live. And some of the things that he said were not the greatest. And I watched you in the audience as your friend. And I honestly wanted to fly to New York and punch him in the throat. And I know a lot of other people felt the same way. And I saw you. Was that his sister in the audience?
Yeah.
And you were like gripping her hand.
And yeah.
I felt across the country with my heart falling to my stomach. And I wanted to know how you felt in that moment.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever been in more of an awkward, uncomfortable situation in my entire life. Thank God Katie was there, because I was holding her hand like as if like, you know, the world was coming to an end. Poor girl, like I was just squeezing it so hard because I was just like, what is happening right now? And, you know, although I was smiling and just like keeping like, you know, kind of a happy face on, like I was legit crying inside. You know, the whole reason we had gone to Watch What Happens Live is because Aunt Rhonda was in town. The last time she was in New York was when it was season 2 and we had like mom's weekend, and that was 4 years ago. So I knew Austin was going on with Tayshia, and I was like, hey, Aunt Rhonda's in town. I would love, love, love for her to experience, you know, going to the studio, meeting Andy, just like getting an inside glimpse of this, you know, interesting, weird life that we live. And if I'm not the guest, like the next best thing is, you know, you just ask your best friend, hey, can like we go with you? I'll stay back in the green room. But Andy really wanted me in the audience, and you can't say no to Andy. Mm-hmm. So I wound up in the audience, and I don't know. Like, you know, you never know what kind of questions or quizzes are going to be asked, but I was definitely taken aback at you know, the responses that Austin gave. I think could have been a little bit more respectful to me and to our friendship. And, you know, we've had conversations about that in the past. Specifically after Winter House filming, I had a conversation with him about that. And here we are again. And it's just like, at some point, you know, I can't like be okay with keeping that kind of person in my life. Like I spend so much time caring and nurturing for my friendships and being the best friend I can be to everyone around me. And if it's not going to be reciprocated and it's going on, you know, almost 4 years of friendship, and if it's still not there, then I don't need to train a 34-year-old man how to be a good friend to me. It's just like not in the cards. Like go learn with somebody else and then get back to me another time. But I need a strong break from that friendship for the moment.
Does that make you think about scenes with Madison? I don't know how much you watch of that show. I'm assuming you do.
You know, I've never known Austin with another girlfriend other than Madison, and I've never met her in person. I don't know her personally. The only thing I can really go off of is just like things that Austin has told me. So I when they were going through their relationship issues, do I think Austin was part of those issues? Yes. But do I think Madison was part of those issues? Yes. I mean, there was that point in time when they were together and she was like posting with three naked men in Italy on a yacht. So, you know, do I think that's appropriate? No. So I don't know. I can't really like empathize with Madison because I wasn't in that relationship. All I can do is speak for myself in this situation. And, you know, like here we are at Watch What Happens Live a week ago, and I'm just there to support my best friend, and Andy wants me in the audience, and now I'm getting basically shit on, and it just was not a great feeling, and it was very uncomfortable. And I just, that's not the type of friend that I would want to keep in my life. I know I would never do that to somebody. And I put myself in that situation. Like I had a lot of time to reflect since last week. And like, if the situation was opposite, you know, and like I was the guest and Austin was like, hey, like my mom's in town. Like, can we bring her to Watch What Happens? I would be like, of course. And if they put Austin in the audience, I don't know. I probably would have like catered. Yeah. I would have catered the answers, you know, even like who's a better kisser. It's like, well, Austin, I'm pretty sure out of the two of us, I was the last one that you kissed. So
what is it like to watch the show back? This was filmed so long ago, and you get to see how some cast members weren't necessarily thrilled when you walked in. It was filmed so long ago. What is it like to see it back?
Listen, I think that was a Monday and they were all so hungover from the weekend and, you know, the night before's festivities. I think the night before is when they did that spring break party. And then I come in just like, you know, fire in the hole. I'm here. Let's go. I think they're like, you know, partially hungover. So I don't know. I mean, listen, like, I think it's par for the course at this point in time. It's like I'm 5 years of Summer House and now a Winter House, and it's not out of the ordinary for girls to, you know, these girls to like throw shade at me or talk shit about me, but I almost look at it as flattery, you know, like, like, sorry that I'm energetic and I'm fun and exciting. And if you feel jealous about that, then you throw shade. And if not, then be excited. But I'm here to party and have fun.
So then we learn that you have this backstory with Austin. At that point, we know now that you were intimate with him, but were you ever at a place where you thought I might be falling in love with him?
I mean, listen, I was so drunk that first night that I got there. And like, people don't realize like the stress and the pressure coming in late. You almost feel like you have to catch up, play catch up to, you know, understand what's been going on. Like, drink. I'm nervous because I'm like, who are all these new people? And like, this is a new environment. I'm a summer baby and now I'm in the snow and I don't have Carl and Danielle and like, what's going to happen? So then I just like overcorrected on Fireball and got super drunk. And, you know, Austin and I have in the past had a tendency to say drunken things to each other. Mine just happened to be on camera. So yeah, I didn't really remember it the next day. And if there's, you know, any explaining to the state I was in, I also fell out of my chair and got in a fight with the door. So, I mean, like, yeah, I think that there's something that happens when you're so close with a friend of, you know, let's just say the opposite sex for me and, you know, in my position, wires tend to get crossed. Like you develop such an emotional relationship with that person. And although we live in different states, like at that point in time, we had been talking every single day, like multiple times a day, for weeks before even making it to Vermont. So, you know, like I even said in the episode, we FaceTimed like a lot on New Year's Eve and he said something to me on New Year's Eve. And the next day I'm like, Austin, do you know what you said to me last night? He's like, no, what? And I'm like, bro, you told me you were going to date me this year. And he just started cracking up. So it's just sort of like, that's sort of what I would expect from him. If I say I'm in love with you, I expect you to just crack up the next day, just like I did with you when after, you know, the day after New Year's Eve. You know, I think it is like hard when wires get crossed because you're like in your mind, like I'm so close with this person. Like, could this work? Would it work? You know, what happens if you cross those lines? And we have crossed them before. Which I think makes it a little bit different of a friendship. I know I'm very aware that not, you know, the majority of people do not have a friendship with somebody that they've probably hooked up with before, but the culture of New York City is sometimes it just doesn't work out and you remain friends and in the same friend group. And that seems to be the case with me and Austin.
Julia, you seem to get along with right away.
Yeah. She is so funny. She is one of the funniest girls. She's just so open and, you know, willing to like, you know, get in the, you know, sort of be in the middle of the party and just like get to know everyone equally and objectively. And although she came in with Paige, who I have, you know, historically had issues with in the past. Yeah, Julia just, she was just so warm and open. Like I'm very drawn to warm, open people. Mm-hmm. So I just like really hit it off with her pretty early on.
Now, did I hear it correctly? But does Austin call Andrea Andy?
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes even still to this day, I'm like, Andy. Oh, Andrea. I got it. You know, like he's like, yeah, I'm going to hang out with Andy. He's got, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, who's Andy? And then I'm like, oh, Andrea. Yeah. They did this whole like frat boy thing where they were trying to show Andrea how to be a frat boy. So they gave him an Americanized name version of Andrea. They were like, okay, we're going to call you Andy because if you want to learn what, you know, an American frat boy looks like, you have to have an American version of your name.
Now, Sierra, was it awkward given the romantic-ish adjacent experiences that she's had with Austin that you've had, and you're living in this house together, is that awkward?
I mean, for me, it just wasn't awkward. Like as soon as Austin told me that he had made out with Sierra, I'm like, cool, whatever, who cares? Like, you know, like that's what happens. Like you make out with people. And again, in our world in New York City, it's like not a big deal. Like,
got it.
You know, so for me, I just was not shocked and didn't think anything of it at all. Like I was like, cool. Like I know Austin, I know, you know, he's just out of a relationship and is looking to be single. Like I would expect him to make out with one, two, maybe more girls. Like I, you know, like that's what you do when you're single. You just sort of make out until you find somebody to, you know, stop making out with other people with.
Now, were you thrilled to be around new people? Because you're the summer house, basically, you get a couple new people every now and then. But this was a whole experience with people from Southern Charm and then people that we've never met as viewers. Was it nice to mix it up?
Yeah. I mean, you know, this was the first time that we had the most people in one of our share houses, you know, since we started filming Summer House. So, you know, having 12 of us, it's a lot of people. And it is fun to like, you know, get to know new people. Although like I went into it like, oh, this is going to be so fun. I'm going to hang out with my friends.
I heard that you definitely make the most of your time there.
Who'd you hear that from?
A little birdie. And I don't want you to spoil anything for us, but could you just give us a little hint at what is yet to come?
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, that little birdie is absolutely correct. I feel like I did make the most of my time and I typically
like you
do.
Were in it. You were in it to win it.
Yeah, without spoilers. I mean, you can see in, you know, the teaser or the trailer, you know, who caught my eye. And yeah, I mean, listen, like at the end of the day, you're in a share house with 12 people. It's still COVID times. You're not really able to like venture too far outside of the house with the exception of doing our snowy activities. Yeah, you just, I tend to enjoy getting to know, men, who are extremely good looking. And did I do just that? Yes,
sure
I did.
Yes, you did. And then when you're filming, you can't be reading books or watching movies, right? Like, what are you doing to stay preoccupied? Are you just chatting?
There's no downtime in that house. Like we would wake up and it was like, okay, get ready. Like you're literally going on the mountain in 20 minutes. And I'm like, what? And you know, then you like go do some sort of activity, whether it's dog sledding or ice fishing or, you know, skiing or snowboarding. And then you come back and you're like, oh my God, now I have to like shower and get ready. And you're like, everyone's sharing showers and bathrooms and you have to navigate that. And then you're like, okay, now we have to like, you know, organize some sort of dinner party or party that somebody is throwing in the house and, you know, have a costume for that. So yeah. And then you're just like back at it again the next morning after going to bed at like 1, 2, 3 a.m.
Who's cleaning up after you guys? That was also something I was very stressed out about.
We were. So oh, if there was a group who went outside of the house to do a certain activity, the group who stayed home would be the ones who cleaned for that
day. Oh my God. And what do you think about Craig and Paige now dating?
I just think that they're kind of perfect for each other. I've spent some time with him this summer. And I think, you know, he's really happy and a better version of himself when he's with her. And I think, you know, he makes her really happy and giddy when they're together and it's really cute to see and they're making the long distance thing work. And so, yeah, I'm like, I'm happy for them. Like I love love. And, you know, if they found love, then that makes me really happy because I think everyone deserves it all around.
And so do you. And I want you to know that the women, especially of the viewers that watch the show, and I know a lot of men too, they really want you to find the right person. I have always told you it's going to be somebody older than you. I know he's out there and we just want the best for you. So just keep that in mind when you're out there dating that Kate, Casey, and the viewers are on your shoulder going, that guy's not right, not worth it. We want you to know that you are worth nothing more than total and absolute love.
Yeah. And, you know, I think one of the biggest lessons that I've learned in the last 5 years of navigating my romantic relationships, you know, either on camera or in the public eye is I've obviously kissed a lot of frogs, specifically my last boyfriend, but I would rather be single than settle. Like, as long as you love yourself and you're happy with yourself, which I do, then, you know, that's all that really matters.
Or you just fall in love with Carl. We'll see. tell everybody where they can watch Winter House.
You can watch a brand new episode of Winter House every Wednesday on Bravo at 9 p.m. There is only 4 episodes left, so make the most of it.
And where can they follow you?
You can follow me on Instagram at lindshubs.
Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes that you like, so you can find the home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours, and even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Queens of Bravo is a must follow on Twitter and on Instagram. And I'm proud to tell you, I have roped them into their first podcast ever. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So I wanted to talk to you about this episode, this last episode of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, because I thought it was insane. The episode starts off with Jen and her coworker slash accomplice, as we know, Stuart, and they're at his laptop. He's working on the laptop and he says the infomercial lead is doing very well and informs her that business is booming. And she hands him a banana. We know that the next episode is the beginning of all of the events that work up to the arrest. When you watch that clip, were the hairs on the back of your neck rising like they were rising on mine?
I didn't even notice it the first time. It was like when I was doing my rewatch that I noticed, because I mean, it just goes by so quickly. I mean, you're looking at your phone and then all of a sudden that scene happens. And I mean, yeah, I mean, it's just mind boggling. Like they're setting it up. We're excited, obviously. We're counting down.
I just thought, oh, these two were just so gallantly talking about business. There is no reason to believe that they had any idea that anything was coming, because they are just braggadocious. Even while cameras are filming them, like they had no idea that this was coming. And they certainly never thought that it would come. They were pretty confident in the whatever scheme that they had come up with that they would never be caught for it. That's what I thought in that moment. Mary then tells Heather and Whitney that she cannot stand being questioned. Of course, we saw the last episode where Lisa said that she would Google her comments about carbonation hardening your ovaries. Then she goes on to say that she's lost someone over being questioned before, and that she and her mother haven't spoken in 25 years because her mother didn't believe that she was making the right decision when she married Robert Sr. and took over the church after her grandmother had passed. So did it make sense that she was triggered by Lisa's question about whether
carbonation hardens your ovaries, and being questioned by her mother 25 years ago whether or not she should be marrying Robert Sr.
I mean, far be it for me to question that. I mean, if that's her truth, that's her truth. But to me, it doesn't feel like that would create such a response from such a little moment.
The interesting thing with Mary is that you always feel like there's another few layers that are going to come with every episode. And I feel like we're just scratching the surface because we didn't really get a chance to really find out anything about her, very personal, last season. And the fact that Robert Sr. is not in many of the scenes, I think that complicates it a little bit more. Because ultimately, it's the other family members that really help shape each housewife's story. And we learn so much about them through the lens of their children and their spouse. And this season, we've only really seen her son, and he does not seem to want to participate in any of the filming, for whatever reason that may be. But she's definitely somebody that is mysterious. But she does say things that are so outlandish and crazy that she's really funny. Like, I can see why she's a great cast member.
I mean, this is now the second time, well, that I remember, you know, like in the first season, she had that one really beautiful moment where she's talking about her marriage to Robert Sr. And it was just like painful. Like, you could just like see Heather. It was in that same scene where she's talking about the carbonation when they're, and you can just kind of see like the pain, you know, bringing down the walls a little bit just of what transpired and how they got married. And that happened in season one. And it was just like so touching and just interesting, I guess, like her journey into this marriage. And now we see it here again. And in some strange way, I kind of feel like it's a call for help.
Yeah. The big moment of the episode, and the one that kept me up at night, and the one I've been dying to talk to you, is about Lisa's sons having this fresh wolf event at the end of the episode. She wants us to believe that a 15-year-old boy and his 7-year-old brother have come up with a skincare line, that they came to her and they said, listen, I know we got soccer, we got baseball, we've got Cotillion. What we've really always wanted to do since the time that, as you can remember, when we were 3 years old, when we came to you with the same idea, we want to create a skincare line specifically for children of our age. It's what we talk about all day. We go to lunch. We don't give a shit about any other sports teams. We don't care about art, robots. We care about saving the skincare of the youth of America. And would you help us in this journey? She is really pushing the skincare line. Do you believe that these two boys came up with this idea?
You know, I'm kind of on the same page as you. I think it's a little hard to believe. I definitely know that at 15, I wasn't creating decks or lines. But you also have to see it from the parents' perspectives. And I mean, they're entrepreneurs, they're building businesses, they're hustling. So I don't know if that's sort of like the mentality that she's trying to instill in them. As we've, there was, I remember this Instagram post or a story that she posted of the two of them, I think advertising it like last year. And you could see her mouthing what he was saying.
Oh.
So, you know, everything with Lisa Barlow this season, from what I'm seeing, you know, it tends to be very structured. You know, to quote, like, I think she definitely wants to put out a certain image of herself out there. And I think she's just trying to set up her boys, you know, she's trying to set up her boys, you know, to do well in business. And, you know, on the one hand, it can feel, again, structured. But I mean, in a weird way, like, I wish I had something, you know, like something like that as well too, you know, someone kind of pushing me in that sort of direction. So no, I don't 100% believe it, but I also feel like Lisa's trying to take this opportunity to set her children up for success.
So then at the end of the episode, they start chatting and Meredith meets this man named Cameron. And Lisa says that the connection is that this man is a participant in the foster care system. He's taken in foster children, which is great. But that he also was a parishioner at Mary's church. And then Meredith has this uncomfortable conversation with Cameron, and Lisa has walked away. But it's almost as if she's kind of watching in the periphery from across the room. And you get this feeling that this was obviously set up. I think the man was mic'd, where he keeps driving the point that he was part of Mary's church, and that he actually says, I actually used to attend her church, and thankfully I'm out of that situation. So he doesn't say anything specific, but he alludes to something and he repeats it a couple times. Meredith, while usually pretty private, does seem to ask a little bit of questions, but I watched that episode and I went, oh my God, Lisa Barlow's diabolical. She set this whole thing up. It does seem like in each episode, if she doesn't like someone, the next episode, she sets them up to look like an idiot. What did you think?
I have to admit it. Like, I literally wrote a post last night, almost very congratulatory, I might add, that I think Lisa Barlow is carrying this season. I think she has her hands in everybody's business, in a great way. I think, you know, like she, I really feel like she's pushing storyline, and I don't think she's getting the credit that she deserves. I have seen that people feel that she set this up in some sort of way to make Mary look bad, you know, after they had their little incident. But I'm going to flip it on you. What if she did? I mean, as we all know, and I'm surprised that people wouldn't want, you know, if something nefarious is happening with Mary's church, why wouldn't people want that exposed?
Is she actually doing a service to all of us? Because we do need to get to the bottom of whether or not Mary is operating some sort of cult. So she's just bringing to fruition what may need to be pecked away. So in the immediate future, we think, oh my God, she's diabolical. She hates Mary. She set her up. But the truth is, we've all been kind of wondering for like a year, like what really is going on in Mary's church? So it is like a double-edged sword.
Exactly.
Yeah, I see your point.
People want this information. They want the gossip. They want the tea on what's going on behind the scenes. But because it's Lisa doing it, they're like, oh no, we don't want it. But I mean, if it was somebody else on the cast, I think
people would take it better if it was somebody else, because she targets each person and it seems so timely. Like anytime you go against her, the very next episode, she takes you down. I do think you're right. If it was somebody else, we would take it a little bit better, which is unfortunate because the truth is we all kind of want to know what's going behind the scenes of Mary's church. So it is, we're in a predicament as viewers, because the person that's really cracking it open, are they the most trustworthy and do we like her? Because ultimately you want the whistleblower or the person that helps the whistleblower to be someone of high value system, right? And because each episode you're like, ooh, that's got to sting. Ooh, that's got to hurt. You kind of question like who's the person that's cracking it open. So I don't know. It's definitely wild. So the next episode is when we're going to see the series of events begin, when we see Jen's arrest. So they're not going to go to Vail, or maybe they do, but they're not going to get past the parking lot outside of Beauty Lab, at least for the next episode. How excited are you to see the beginning of the arrest of Jen Shaw?
I'm counting down. I mean, two things. We're probably going to get it to be continued. So that's going to come back.
Right.
We haven't had one of those on the screen in a while. So that's very exciting. But yeah, I think we're finally getting into the meat of the series that we've all kind of been waiting for.
Right.
They've been, you know, they pushed us. you know, we thought we were going to get that a little bit sooner, but people have been waiting. So, yeah, I think it's going to be huge. And I mean, just Andy last night said that not the next episode, but the one after that is he considers one of the best episodes of Housewives ever. Wow.
That's a tall order. And we should note the gentleman Cameron that appeared at the end of that episode has since passed away. And I've been told that he was really involved in the foster care system in Utah. So I am sending my love to his family. Very sad to read that. So,
yeah, likewise. Yeah, last night, Lisa, she wrote a whole post about him, and Jim and Shu was tweeting about him as well, too. So, all my love to him as well, too.
So thank you so much. And listen, people, you've got to follow Queens of Bravo on Instagram and on Twitter. Is there anywhere else that everybody can follow you?
That's pretty much it. You know, I kind of pop up on Clubhouse every now and then, but that's about it. Yeah, that's already pretty full time. So I just keep it to Instagram and Twitter.
Well, I thank you for your coverage, for your help with the J-Lo matter. And I'm so grateful that you came on the show today. Thank you.
No, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. Can't wait to talk about Southern Charm.
Yeah.
The amazing Kate Casey.
I want to thank my great guests, Lindsay and Queens of Bravo, and remind you to click subscribe, leave a 5-star review, jump in the Facebook group, Reality Life with Kate Casey. You can find me on Twitter at Kate Casey. I tweet about shows and during shows all week long. You can find me on TikTok at It's Kate Casey. My Instagram is at Kate Casey CA. Check out what I'm watching each week. You can get my list of what to watch this week at katecasey.substack.com. And also, you can check out my bonus episodes by going to Patreon, patreon.com/KateCasey. Lots of great bonus episodes to check it out. Look forward to circling back with you on Friday.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.